reading to you from the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, and with the 4th verse. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 49, soon be 50 years ago, in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. The other day, friends, I turned a big 80 on the speedometer. And someone said, how do you feel? I said, I feel like I'm about 100. No, that's not true. But I'll tell you, I had a wonderful time. My grandchildren and my great-grandchildren and my daughters and my sons, they had a little party for me. And oh, I tell you, it was such a joy. And I got to spend a half a day with three of my grandsons who are moving to Florida. They're in their 20s. And I tell you, friends, it's great to have grandchildren. I tell you, I love those kids. They mean so much to me. Well, listen, hey, I'll be with you for a half an hour. What am I saying, an hour? I used to be an hour. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a hot cup of coffee or a glass of tea. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Tonight, friends, I'd like to speak on 5 solemn facts. And oh, listen, dear friends, these are important, not because I'm preaching, but because they come from the Bible. If you reject the warnings of God's infallible word and deliberately disregard the danger signals of divine truth, eternal issues are at stake. You know, I've thought about that so many times in the Garden of Eden. What a beautiful place that must have been. And Adam and Eve had everything in this whole world they'd ever want. They had security. They had food. They had lodging. And they had a God that would come in the evening and fellowship with them. What more could one ever ask for? But because the old Satan, the old slewfoot, the devil, he came to Eve in a weak moment and told her that God had lied to her. And if she would do what he said, she'd live forever. Oh, friends, whenever you doubt this Bible, you're putting yourself in harm's way. The Bible is the only book in this world that you can stake your eternal life on. Yes. Well, anyway, she sinned, and now we, you and I, all of us have the Adamic nature. That nature is to rebel against God. Hey, listen, I know I've rebelled against God, and I'm a preacher of the gospel. Every one of us at one time or another have rebelled, or we said, no, Lord, we don't want to do this. I sure didn't want to be a preacher. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, you're sure not. You don't talk like one. Well, I is one. You bet your life. And I'm so glad that I did tell the Lord I'd do it, because there's a joy involved in preaching the gospel. Telling men and women about Christ, seeing people saved, is the greatest joy God ever gave anybody. And you know what, beloved? That's not just for preachers or deacons or Sunday school teachers. That joy is given to everyone whose name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. Just remember that. If you want joy, go out and tell someone about Jesus. You see, folks, all will not be saved. Some will be saved, others will be lost. A day of separation is surely coming, and a separation of the wheat from the tares, the good from the bad, and the sheep from the goats. We have a lot of goats amongst our sheep today in our churches. We have many false prophets in the pulpit today. And we have false prophets, yes, even in a prison chaplaincy. In Matthew 13:30, let us both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in a bundle to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Oh, friends, if you're going to be that wheat, you're going to have to do what God wants you to do. You're going to have to invite Christ into your heart. Turn your back on the old way of life. You say, well, Cecil, it's not as easy as think. I know it isn't. Let me ask this question. Do you ever smoke? You ever try to, if you got hooked on cigarettes, you ever try to smoke, quit smoking? Have you ever tried to quit drinking when you're an alcoholic? It's not easy. But I tell you, my God's big enough to deliver you from it. In Matthew 41:43, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom. Everything that causes sin and all who do evil, they will throw them into a fiery furnace where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Friends, listen. The reason that I'm on the radio tonight is not because I'm a big-shot special person. It's because my heart's concern is for men and women who are lost and undone. You see, no one ever sat down with me and told me how to get to heaven. In fact, the matter is, dear friends, over the years as an alcoholic, I have visited psychiatrists, psychologists, brain specialists, doctors, and, yes, six preachers. And nobody told me that there was any hope for me till I met one man, just one man in Seattle, Washington, who knew how to get to Jesus. And friends, that's what I want to do for you tonight. Matthew 13:49-50. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into a fire furnace where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. The kingdom is prepared for you since the creation of the world. That's right. Did you know that? Before this world was ever formed, God knew who was going to be saved. You say, well, then why do I have to worry? Well, you have to come to Christ. See, Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. If you don't know Jesus tonight, he's looking for you. If you're listening to this broadcast, he's wanting you to hang on just a little bit longer, because I'm going to tell you how you can accept Christ as your Savior. You know why I go to prison, dear friends? Let me tell you why. Jesus said, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison. You came to visit me. Now he says, for those who don't, be gone, ye cursed workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I go to prison because those men don't stand a chance unless somebody comes by and tells him about Christ. You know, the Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You won't get to heaven until you hear about Jesus and hear what he did on the cross of Calvary. See, the majority of people in this world today are lost. Oh, listen, the majority were lost at the time of the flood. Only 8 people were saved. Noah, his wife, his sons, and his daughter-in-laws. That's all that came out of that alive. The majority were lost in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Only 3 were saved. Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, there was a lot of homosexuality and sodomy. Well, look what's taking place in the world today. Friends, again, I want you to know, I received a phone call on my Sunday night broadcast, and this fellow said he was tired of self-righteous Christian putting down homosexuals and lesbians and telling them they were all going to hell unless they repent. I said, wrong. I never told them that they were going to hell. God said it. And I'm just to relay the message. See, the reason God wants us to relay the message to the homosexuals and the lesbians, because he loves them. Yes, say, what? God loves them. He certainly does. He certainly does. He doesn't love their sins, but he loves them sinners. I know when I was an alcoholic, I never dreamed that God could love someone as wretched I was. I've thought I was the most wretched man in the whole world. I was not a happy drunk. I was a miserable, miserable alcoholic. I knew the Bible said that drunkards would not inherit the kingdom of God. You think that didn't scare me? When I repented of my sin, God forgave me and gave me eternal life. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. It's free. It's given to you freely if you just by faith reach out and accept it. Christ paid our sin debt in full. Now, I don't know where this theory came or this next thing I'm going to say came from, but they say it is estimated only 2% of the people in the world are saved on the road to heaven. I don't know how they come up with that figure, but I wouldn't doubt it a bit. Many who expect to be saved will perish. This is the saddest fact of all. Multitudes who continually expect to be in heaven will awake too late. They had never been born again. I remember one of my dearest high school buddies. We were both tiny guys. And, well, when the war came out, my dad put me in the Navy when I was 17, World War II. And Don's dad put him in the Navy. And we met each other in San Francisco by accident. We were both in a bar drinking. We got in a big fight with a bunch of longshoremen. We took off. I never saw him again. Many, many, many years have passed. Now I am the pastor of a church in Oregon. I told my wife, you know, I love Don. I'm going to go to the Dalles and I'm going to go see him and tell him how to find Jesus. I went, my wife and I went to the Dalles, and we found him and his wife in a bowl. Now they both of them were drunk out of their mind. He was bald-headed. I thought he looked to be twice as old as I was. We were the same age. I said, Don, could we go over to your house and visit? He bought a case of beer. He thought I was still drinking, of course. And we got there to offer him a beer, and I said, no, I don't drink anymore. What? You don't drink anymore? No, don't do it. He said, what are you doing nowadays, Cease? I said, I'm a pastor of a church. He almost died. He nearly died. Well, I shared with him. And I shared with him and his wife till 2 a.m. in the morning. And I said, Don, we've got to get back to Portland. And I said, would you mind if I'd bow for a word of prayer? And he said, no, Cease, go ahead. And I said, oh, God, please help Don and his wife to see that the most important thing in their life is to trust Jesus as Savior. We left and we went back to Portland. About a year later, my wife and I and my children was going down to Kentucky to buy a gospel tent, and I was going on the road with a gospel tent. We stayed at my mother-in-law's in Portland that night. Next morning, I got up and picked up the Sunday newspaper. Said a Dalles man was killed instantly. He was up clearing his ground, and he cut this tree down, big pine tree, and it spun a limb, hit him back of the head, and killed him. Killed him instantly. Well, as I went through the Dalles, I stopped to pay my respect to his family because I was like, they were like my family. And they said, Cecil, you've got to preach Don's funeral. I said, oh, no, I couldn't do that. Oh, I couldn't never. In fact, I had never yet, as that time, had ever preached a sermon in prison. I mean, funeral. But they insisted, so I said I would. And I remember looking into that casket and the sin and the sea of my friend's face. You could see the fear all over his face. You can't take fear out of a person. And I asked his wife, I said, did Don ever repent? Did Don ever give his heart to the Lord? And she said, no, Cecil, he never sobered up after you left. Well, you see, many will perish. Well, men without the born-again experience, no man or woman will ever go to heaven. Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. You see, Cecil, I'm a Catholic, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Pentecostal, or a Presbyterian, or a Mormon, or Jehovah's Witness. It makes no difference to God what you call yourself unless you're born again. You are doomed and damned and on the road to hell. Thus saith the Lord. I was preaching a revival in a large church in Dallas, Texas in 1986. A deacon of 20 years approached me before the service and said he wanted to talk to me. I said, I can't do it now because we're getting ready to speak. I said, we got our motorhome parked out behind the church. Come out there after the service and let's have a cup of coffee and talk it over. But he never showed up. The next night he came and said, Cecil, we got to have that talk. Well, I said, let's go. So I went into this little prayer room and I said, what is the problem? He said, Cecil, I don't know where I'm going. At first I didn't know what he meant. Then finally it dawned on me that he was lost as a woodpecker in a snowstorm. I went over to plan a salvation, something he'd learned by heart. After all, he was a deacon for 20 years. I introduced that man to Christ at the invitation. He came running down the aisle and said, I'm glowing. Can't you see it? That night, he asked me and the pastor if we could come to his place of business and talk to all his workers. I said we would. The man owned a huge glass company, and he got his secretary to call all the men and women to this large meeting room. And he told the people that last night I was saved, and I want Cecil to tell you how you can be saved too. You talk about a bunch of shock people. Here's a man that lived a lie, lived as a Christian, but was lost. And I gave an invitation after I spoke. I don't know how many people were saved. He promised me that he would talk to everyone who received Christ. This man was a multimillionaire. I never saw such a happy man in all my life. Friends, we have lost preachers and lost priests and lost rabbis. Today we have lost Sunday school teachers. King Agrippa almost become a Christian. Almost. What a horrible word. What if you were drowning in a lake and I threw out a lifeline to you and it was 6 inches too short? You were almost saved from drowning. It says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father and who is in heaven. Many will say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, did not we prophesy in your name? In your name we drove out demons and performed miracles? Then will I say to them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Friends, listen. I know that this is a place for con men to operate. There's con men operating in very, very notable con men in the Lord's work, especially in the healing situation. Oh, yes, they are. I know one healer that's building a $7 million home in California. Do you think God's behind that? Whose money is he using? The people that he swindled out of. Anytime you ever saw Jesus healed, you never saw him having a sideshow, knocking him down, picking him up, knocking him down, picking him up. This is man stuff. This isn't of the Lord, I'll guarantee you. Well, that's what's happening today in this last days. The Bible tells me that there's no salvation after death. Oh, I know that there's churches that preach that. That you can die and go someplace and wait a while and pay your way out and go on into heaven. Well, this is impossible. The Bible said there's a great gulf fixed between you and heaven. You can't get there. The time came when the beggars died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham afar away with Lazarus by his side. So he called for him, Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this fire. This means there is no second chance. If you die unsaved tonight, you will remain unsaved for all eternity. Revelation 22:11, let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right, and let him who is holy continue to be holy. Oh, friends, listen. Tonight, some of you are saying, Cecil, I only wish I knew I was going to heaven. Well, friend, it tells us in the Bible, this is written that you may know that you pass from death to life. It's all there. Well, what do you got to do? Well, you got to make a decision. You've got to turn your back on the old way of life. You got to recognize that Jesus Christ came to the cross and died for you and died for me. He became sin, yet he was sinless, and he died on that cross for you and for me. Now, the thing is, do you feel a real tugging at your old heart tonight? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Tonight he's drawing your heart. He says, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Oh, friends, I know you're sitting there. Maybe some of you are crying. Maybe some of you are going to lose your job, or you're going to lose your home, or you lost a loved one by death, and you don't think you can pull through it. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now listen, tonight, if you have that tugging at your heart, would you do me a favor? Would you bow your head with me right now? Just bow your head right now. And don't say anything else, and just listen to what I'm going to tell you. He says, come unto me, all you have labored and heavy laden. He wants to give you new life. He sure does. This is a prayer that changed my life, and you can pray it tonight. Don't pray it unless you mean it. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all the things I've done against you and against everybody. And Lord, tonight, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart in receiving you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you meant that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for money. Friend, I don't care where you go to church. I am concerned where you spend eternity. Won't you give me a call? I've been on broadcasting in Denver for 31 years. Every Sunday night, I'd give this invitation. Hundreds of men and women have trusted Jesus over the years. Maybe you're going to be the one tonight. Oh, I beg of you, come to Christ while there's still a chance.
There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. But one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold. Away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thine 99. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. I go to the desert to find my sheep.
My, I almost run out of time. Friends, if you believe in this ministry that we're doing and you'd like to help us with our prison expenses and our radio time, it would be so appreciated. We're not beggars. We're not up here trying to make a buck off on somebody. We have a real heavy schedule, and it's more than I can afford to do. So if you believe in prison ministries and you believe that these people are being helped, just sit down tonight and write out a small check, large check, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. We're not asking to give huge amounts of money. No, we don't need just so much money. It's all we need to do the job that God's called us to do. Do what you can. Our address is Mo Evangelistic Association, Inc., and it's 9621 South Bearberry Lane, Highlands Ranch, Colorado, 80129. God bless you, and it will truly be appreciated. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful time tonight on the broadcast. Lord, I know that many people are lost and doomed and damned, but they don't have to be. because you told us to go preach the word. Tell them how to get there. And Lord, for so many years I didn't have the slightest idea how to get to heaven until you showed me one man that knew Jesus and knew that he could save an old drunk and deliver him from alcoholism. We have many alcoholic loved ones listening tonight, families who their husbands or wives are alcoholics. And precious Lord, I pray that they'll get them to listen to the broadcast some night or buy my film, Against All Hope. Oh God, so we can win souls to Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, for the last 28 minutes, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Dear friends, if you'd like to talk to me, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. Now, if you just want to call and tell me you don't like me or you don't like what I say, just you're wasting your time. There's people who call who want to be saved, and we introduce them to Christ right on the phone. I'm not the smartest preacher in the world nor the greatest theologian, but, oh, friends, one night in a drunken condition, I staggered into a preacher's home, and I heard that God loved me, and I accept him as my Savior. And that's been over 50 years ago. Oh, friends, listen. He'd do the same thing for you. He's no respecter of person. Well, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. Friends, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming back, and it may be sooner than people think. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.